You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
One hint, the worst is yet to come.
So they sent Tyler Collins out, and Justin Miller has been called up.
Well.
So Justin Miller, I think it's his major league debut. He's never been called up before. Pitcher, Justin Miller called up from Toledo, and Tyler Collins back down. Well, he got the two hits, and that was it. Two hit.
Hey, Rob Parker here for Sam's Alterations, Mark. Sam's Alterations.
Sam the man.
You think you're the man?
Nope.
No, Sam is the man, Mark. He can handle all your alterations and such. Whatever you need. You need your pants let out. You need cuffs. You need your pants taken in. Sam can handle it. Sam's Alterations located right there on 12 Mile Road and Southfield Road in Lathrop Village. Mark, the telephone number, 248-552-9950. Men's, women's, whatever, kids. Whatever you need altered, Sam can take care of it. So if you need alteration needs, make sure you go to Sam's Alterations, 12 Mile Road and Southfield Road in Lathrop Village. Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Go get Sam'd. All right, time for a sports wrap sponsored by Sporty Cuts. For the best haircuts in Detroit, go to 7 Mile between Outer Drive and Myers. Here is the man.
Okay, we're getting ready for round one, game one. Wings in Boston, in Beantown. Stanley Cup playoffs, best team in the world, the Boston Bruins, and we just made it in to our 23rd straight year, Detroit Red Wings. Coming up shortly, we'll keep you tabbed all night long. Tigers and Angels now in the second inning. It's now 1-0 L.A. The Angels have gotten on the board against Drew Smyly. Tigers have yet to touch Jared Weaver, but it's 1-0 Angels as we speak at Comerica Park with one down and the Angels at the plate in the top of the second inning. College baseball at West Lafayette, Indiana. Michigan leads Purdue in the fourth inning, 3-1. MSU and Indiana are scoreless in the second. Oakland U and Youngstown State have yet to start. Local scores first. Sportsnet with Parker Demand, presented to you by Sporty Cuts. Other Cup playoffs, round one, game two. Canadians and Lightning, no score in the first. Stars Ducks go at 10 o'clock tonight. Anaheim leads that series 1-0. Other baseball, AL, Toronto and Cleveland, no score second. Orioles lead at Boston, 1-0 second. No score Yankees in Tampa in the second. Yet to start White Sox at Texas, Minnesota at KC. Houston and Oakland go 10-05. National League, the Cubs have scored three runs in their last 35 innings. They lose at home to the Reds 4-1, fifth straight loss for Chicago. St. Louis, Washington, no score second. Pittsburgh has a run on the Brewers, 1-0 third. Atlanta, a run at Citi Field, leads the Mets 1-0 second. Philadelphia, Colorado, yet to start. Two others go after 10-10. One interleague series, Miami and Seattle, playing down in Florida. Marlins and the Mariners. Miami leads 1-0 first. PGA Tour Heritage Round 2 at Hilton Head. Rain suspended. Plenty of guys still on the course for Round 2. KJ Choi in the clubhouse with the lead after a 67. He's at 5 under par. One shot up on Robert Allenby, who was only through 5 in his second round. He's at 4 under. Luke Donald and three others are minus 3. Davis Love finished with an 80. An 80. He's going to be done with a plus 8 because cut line's about plus 3. Tom Watson will be done too. He shot 73. He got his round in before the rains came. Finished at 6 over par. Nick Faldo's only on 4, but he's at plus 9. They'll finish round 2 tomorrow. NBA playoffs start tomorrow with 4 games. Nets at Toronto, 12:30. Golden State at the LA Clippers, 3:30, Staples. Hawks at Indiana, 7. And Memphis at OKC at 9:30. They stagger the 4 games so you can watch it for your pleasure. And that is your sports wrap presented to you by Sporty Cuts. Wings just about to get going here at the TD Garden against the Bruins. Last time the Wings went to the postseason with under 40 wins, regular season, was 96-97, the first year of the back-to-back Stanley Cup championships. They had 38, same exact number, when Scotty was coaching then too. Henrik Zetterberg and Jonathan Erickson officially out for the first round, so even though they've been skating, you've seen Zetterberg a lot and talking to, forget about it, ain't happening.
If they had Zetterberg, it would be a little different, don't you
think?
Come
on. And Erickson.
That's what I'm saying. That's
don't
why.
Tell me that doesn't make a difference. You got one of your better defensemen and your best forward.
It just kills me. Like, people act like they don't matter. Like, well, they've been playing without them. They're doing good.
They brought up all these Grand Rapids Griffins guys.
Really? I don't see it. I just don't.
Tuukka Rask goes in with a goals against of 204. Jimmy Howard's is 266, so a full half goal more per game. The Wings, as I said yesterday, we've been talking about no players over 50 points. Said that to Jamie yesterday. 49 was their high. The Boston Bruins have six players over 50 points. David Krejci, he leads with 69. Patrice Bergeron, 62. Jerome Iginla. We all know what Iginla can do. He saw it in Calgary for years, 61. Detroit, one player over 20 goals, and that's Nyquist. Boston, five over 20. In fact, Iginla and Bergeron each had 30 goals this year.
Wow.
So, look, there's a lot of difference. It is what it is.
I get it, and I understand
why. You got the best team in the league.
Why people are optimistic. You're supposed to. It's your team. I get it. I don't expect everybody to say, no, the Wings won't win, and that's why they were upset.
No,
I've
Rob,
seen
I'm going to stop
I've
you. I'm going to pull you. I'm going to stop you. There does come a time when you can say, you know what? I got to be honest. I'm really glad the Wings make the postseason. They got no shot to beat Boston. They got no chance to beat the Bruins. I know they won 3 out of 4 in the regular season against them. This is a different deal. They could turn it up. They got another level. They got another speed they can go to. Just like, well, the Wings can turn it up too. Dude, I'm telling you, this team is Stanley Cup tested now. You're six years removed from that last cup. Yes, you played the following year too. But those guys are gone. That's when you still had Maltby and Draper and Lidstrom.
You mean, is that the cup year when they were up 2-0 and lost that to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that 09 cup year.
Yeah, I remember.
When they choked.
They were up 2-0.
You know, I hate to say this. And Mike Babcock, we always gave him his applause for what he did this year. I think it's an incredible job to get to the postseason.
He did a great job.
Great job. But his last two good runs in the postseason were choke jobs. Last year against the Blackhawks and then
up,
in the finals against Pittsburgh.
Up 3-1 and the finals. I'm sorry, you're up 2-0. Mark, you just got to win two of the last five games?
You know, Mike Babcock gets,
not that easy.
And there's probably a reason for this, gets a nice pass here. He really does. He's done a nice job. He's now the all-time winningest coach in Detroit Red Wing history, which is hard to believe for a franchise that's been around for 80 years. You'd think someone else.
Yeah, but
else,
they were the Dead Wings for a long time,
they were.
Too. I mean,
but then they had
honest.
The 50s when, you know, Gordy and Novecchio and Sid Abel and all the Cats, and you had the Johnny Wilsons coaching and whatnot. You'd think Johnny Wilson might be the all-time guy. Might have won 500 games. But it is Mike Babcock. And yes, they play more games now, but not by much. It was a 72-game season. Now it's an 82. You know, it's not that big a deal. All I know is I never hear a Red Wing fan make that admission. They never say, I just don't know one. Maybe they're, you know, unless they're like naysaying Red Wing fans.
Right. I know what you mean. And there are those people out there, but you're right for the most part. And even then, like I say, everybody made excuses last year instead of just owning up that they blew it. Instead, it was more about, and it's now 2-0. Watch this shot to center field over Jackson's head.
Should have been out of there. Close to being out.
That
would have been a really poke.
That was a poke. It was a poke, but it was almost, a king-size poke.
Yeah, deep right center.
2-0 Angels against Smiley.
Oh, they're just going round and round. Here, it's like start the carousel on Drew Smiley tonight.
And don't forget, they stranded a man on third with less
than
2 outs.
Ian Stewart.
So 2-0, 2 outs in the second inning.
All right, look, we're going to move on from the Wings. Personally, as a Wings, you know, as a watcher, hey, prove me wrong. Go make it happen do it. It's been 6 years. Let's go. Last time Rob Parker and I did a radio show before this month run, this is our month end right this
yep.
tonight, was the day the Wings had the parade downtown for the 08 Stanley Cup.
Yep.
That is the last day. That Friday was the parade. That was a Thursday. It might have been a Thursday. That was the day we walked out. In fact, where was I going after we walked with our boxes out to the car? So I'm going to go, I'm going downtown to the Hart Plaza thing.
Right, yep.
That was that day. So it's been a minute.
And I went on a corner to beg for change.
That's right, over at the CVS. That's right at the corner up there.
Exactly.
Downtown Detroit, where we were before. Just hang out there, beg for change.
Beg for change. We'll do radio for change, you know?
And then Rob did, right on Woodward.
Unbelievable.
He was going to do it on Joseph Campo, but he said, no, let's do it on Woodward.
Let's do it on Woodward.
Right, more people.
Exactly.
More people will see
let's
me
do
here.
It.
248-848-1130. The guy we were talking about, though, and again, we'll keep
and
you tabbed on the Wings
talk,
online,
yeah.
Is Adrian Dantley. AD, who did not get a chance to celebrate championships with the Detroit Pistons. Famously, we all know that he went bye-bye. Mark Aguirre came in. All was right with the world. Back-to-back, here we go, Palace celebrations, yay us. And Adrian Dantley was left to fume, left steamed.
And after all these years, 30 for 30, he's still fuming. He hasn't let it go.
And I know AD enough to tell you, it doesn't shock me. Sports Night with Parker and the Man, Detroit's 1130 WDFN, The Fan.
What did he say?
Him say.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
It's time now for our guy, Bob Krause. BobKrauseGolf.com. Bob Krause making it happen for you. He's our golf guru all season long here on The Fan. Lighter
hey,
side
I'm
of golf.
I'm Bob Krause, and this is The Lighter Side of Golf. I get a lot of questions via Facebook, email, so on and so forth from current clients. And what they want to do is once they have a proficient golf swing and that they're, you know, shooting somewhere in the low 80s, you know, mid 80s, maybe upper 70s, people really need to learn and really want to learn how to fade or draw a golf ball. It sounds like it's really difficult, but if you really pay attention to what I'm going to say, it's really not as hard as you think. So let's say you're behind a little tree. Nothing terrible, but just have to hit like maybe a 5 or 10 yard little fade. Here's what you need to focus on. You need to pick out where you want the ball to end up, which is, let's say, the center of the green. And let's say you need to start the ball like 30 yards left of the green for a right-hander to hit this little fade around the tree. I want you to start your feet line, draw a line from each toe, and then I want you to make that line start about 30 feet or 30 yards left of where you want the ball to end up. And then I want you to make sure that you keep the club face aiming where you want the ball to end up. And you swing along the toe line. So if you swing along the line that you're aiming 30 yards left of the hole, the ball is going to, what's going to do, it's going to implement side spin on the ball. The ball is going to come out of the rough or the fairway, and it's going to have some side spin on it, some left to right side spin, and the ball just go up and fade just a little bit to the right. Vice versa on a draw. So take that to the course next time you need it, and the ball's going to do exactly what you want it to do, and you're going to play a better golf. As always, you can reach me at Bob Krause Golf on Facebook, BobKrauseGolf.com, or at Bob Krause on your Twitter. So check it out. I'm Bob Krause. That's The Lighter Side of Golf.
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
Really? Is it that time?
That's right. It's when we want to weather, Mark.
Why are we doing it now?
Because we wanted to.
So it's when we want to, we're doing it now. All right, here it is. We got partly cloudy skies out there. There's some sun still peeking through until it goes down and says bye-bye. 57 degrees was, I think we got up to about 62. Anyhow, tomorrow, beautiful day. A little chillier, about 56 for a high, but totally sunny day. Sunny skies at 71 for Easter Sunday. How does that sound to you?
Nice.
Monday, cloudy and 72, then back down into the lower 60s the next few days. But it's looking pretty darn good for the next week. Currently in Metro Detroit, partly cloudy and 57 is our temperature. That's when we want to weather.
Why'd we do it now?
Because you got a big Doppler.
Thank you.
I was talking about your radar.
All right, I got you.
Damn, many crickets. Gee, many crickets. 2-0 Angels. That's your score right now at Comerica. And Jared Weaver has a no-hitter going.
Would you stop it? It's mid-second. They're just starting the second inning. A no-hitter.
Jared Weaver, no-hitter tonight at Comerica Park.
All right, 248, 848, 1130
hey,
is the number.
You left, clown left. Who's the last team to get no-hit in the regular season? The Tigers.
It was the last game of the season.
Yeah,
I remember.
So it could happen again. You know,
so the 30 for 30 mark got rave reviews.
Oh, I mean, everybody
rave
loved
reviews.
It. Loved
everybody
it.
Loved it. Please, if you have any comments about it, did it take you back? The music in it, people love, just everything about it. And I talked to some, you know, people who were really lived through it, Mark, were employees at the Palace during the time, and nobody had a bad word to say about it. Except for Rob. But
I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, I made the joke today to people. I said, have you seen it? I said, I lived it. I was here. I went to all the games. I covered everything. I mean, I was there. Bad Boy era, back to back. Yeah, I was at the Palace for this, I mean, whole thing. So I said, I will watch it now to see if it's accurate.
Oh, yeah. No, they
or what they're missing.
What they said was that it was. But it was weird, Mark. I don't know how did Drew Sharp not make it in? Free Press columnist Drew Sharp. He was a beat writer.
Yeah, but we talk about this stuff. They don't work real hard to find the guys that they will use on these pieces. Sometimes
so what did they do? Just look at the Detroit news and say, well, Terry Foster was a beat guy.
Sometimes it's guys they've already got phone
Brian
numbers
Burwell
for.
And Brian Burwell was the columnist at the Detroit news and Mitch Albom. Those are the only three people?
Rob, I'm telling you, you're making it way too complicated. They find it as easy as possible. If they already have a number for a guy, it's in a Rolodex. They call them up. Do you have any knowledge? Great, come on down. We're not too picky. They're not too choosy who they use. Dude, we used to do that ESPN Classic stuff.
Right.
Obviously, they weren't too picky
then. Oh, stop.
You know?
No, they liked us.
By the way, no score. Wings Bruins 13-33 to play first period. 248-848-1130 is the number. If you were around that time frame, if you remember what happened, let me refresh your memory. Can I refresh your memory, Rob Parker?
Please do it. I told you I was in Portland for number two. I wasn't around for number one.
This is the part about Adrian Dantley, though. You want to start with AD here?
Yes.
Okay, here's the deal with Adrian Dantley. He was a Utah Jazz guy for many years. He was there in Utah for his career started in 1976. He was with Buffalo. So he wasn't a young guy when he got to Detroit. He played for the Lakers for a minute in the late 70s.
A lot of the young guys in the other room said Buffalo had an NBA
team.
Yeah,
Buffalo Braves.
Yes, they did.
The Buffalo Braves were an NBA team. He went to Indiana on the merger. He played for a bit with the Pacers when they first went into the league. Goes to the Lakers, and then the Lakers traded him to Utah. In Utah is when he became a star. He led the league in scoring twice. He had, I think, four straight 30-point seasons. That's 30, averaging 30 points, okay? Like a Kevin Durant this
year.
You
know, right, you don't see that often. It doesn't happen that often.
No, in fact, it's funny because those 4 years, he was 30, 30, 30, and 30. It wasn't 31. He had like four consistently same
That's
years.
Unbelievable. That's very consistent.
He kind of trailed off the last couple, averaging 26. 20, then he went back up to 29. But then Utah sends him to, he goes to Detroit. He's 30 years old now. This is when things were just cooking. The hot rivalry with the Knicks and Bernard King. Isaiah was a stud. Lambeer was rebounding like crazy. Joe was in his second year. Dennis Rodman was on the scene. This is when the Pistons were really starting to make it happen. This is when, for the first time since the 70s with Dave Bing and the Dobber, Bob Lanier, they were starting to really happen. And there were people who thought, well, if there's one link in this daisy chain that ain't making sense, you know, because Kelly Trepuka left. Kelly was very much a part of the buildup for years with Chuck and those guys and then ended up leaving and going elsewhere.
But Chuck wasn't a big fan. I mean,
of Kelly?
Yeah.
No, he didn't like Kelly's game at all.
Because he
scored.
Because he didn't play defense.
But he scored.
Couldn't stop anybody.
And he knew at the time. Basically, why they got Dantley was because they got rid of Kelly Trepuka. They needed a scorer. So here's the problem with that. What they got was kind of a guy who was becoming a malcontent. He had done nothing in Utah in terms of, you know, team stuff. I mean, it was just all individual. And some people thought, even when he came here, that it was too individualistic and that Isaiah wouldn't like him, Joe wouldn't like him, because he was way too into his shots. He was too much into himself. He took a ton of shots, man. He led the league in all the time. He and Alex English were the two big, and throwing Dominique Wilkins. They loved their own games because they had nothing else to do. Denver was bad with English. Utah was bad with Dantley. And Atlanta was so-so with Wilkins. So they were the human highlight films. All of a sudden, he's got to play this team concept on a team that can win something. And I don't think he got it. So his second year is 88-89. It's only his second year with the Pistons. He starts the first 42 games. He's a starter.
Right.
If you think you're going to a championship, who changes that? Nobody. All of a sudden, boom, comes this trade with the Dallas Mavericks. Basically straight up, Adrian Dantley for Mark Aguirre. And why did the Pistons go after Aguirre, Rob?
Because it was Isaiah's friend.
Not only was he a buddy from Chicago, Isaiah was from that area, and Aguirre went to Westinghouse High School in Chicago, but because after 8 years of being a big-time scorer, Mark Aguirre bought in. He was willing to do the grunt work. He didn't have to take 30 shots a game. And he played defense.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mark, and I hear you, and I know you know better than I do, okay?
Because you watched it.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. I'm giving you that. I still am not – I don't think Adrian Dantley's out of bounds to be upset the way he got treated and what went down.
That's not the question. I agree with you.
Okay?
I'm not going to disagree.
He has a right to – because they still could have won a championship with Adrian Dantley. I don't believe that was the difference.
That's –
What big shot did Mark Aguirre knock down?
It's not about knocking down shots. That bad boy team was about defense first.
I understand that, Mark, but I'm just saying Adrian Dantley was a scorer. And
Mark Aguirre had games where he won games with shots.
I'm not saying that he didn't
down.
Do anything, but I don't think that – I don't believe it, and I don't remember – and maybe I'm telling you, you can tell me more. I don't remember Mark Aguirre being such the key that they wouldn't have won. I just don't see that.
I think that – Dantley had become, I hate using the word, you know what I want to use?
Prima donna?
No, a really bad illness thing in that locker room where guys really didn't like him. And I don't know if it was going to take too much of a toll. Sometimes Mark, those little things.
He wasn't a Cancer because he was born in January.
I hate
using
that word now for that.
He was born in January. I think he was a Capricorn. He wasn't.
Look, all I know is that the ship was righted. And the reason I'm going to. What are you looking at? What,
another strikeout. No, but Alex.
Alex Gonzalez?
No.
Oh, Avila?
It's another strikeout.
Dude, how many times I got to tell you? I said before the season started. Maybe they should look at another catcher, but the dad is the assistant GM.
Mark,
I don't know.
Mark, you got to make. You can't just strike out half the time. I'm sorry.
It's 3 years
big
now.
Big leagues and the big leagues.
It's 3 years, Go Rob.
Ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, and I'm on a roll. The thing about Aguirre is, and the reason I don't disagree with you on that point about Adrian Dantley is because Isaiah took it for the team. He had to be the bad cop in this, and he did it. He had to. He literally had to take a shovel. Pry Adrian Dantley's legs out from under him and fling him to Dallas, and he took the heat because there were some people who said, "Wait a second," because they don't know what's going to happen yet, Rob.
Right,
and they'd already just been to the finals.
I'll give you what you call. Well, that's what I'm trying to say is that that team made it to the finals
with
AD. With
Adrian Dantley.
So don't act like they couldn't have won it with AD.
But you talk about this all the time. The Tigers went to the finals, too, twice.
Yes.
How did that work out for
no,
you?
No, they didn't win.
Okay. And how were you on their asses?
Right. No, I mean, I was. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I do understand. If you told me that the Pistons didn't make it to the finals with AD and he was the weak link and that was what they needed to shore up.
I won't go as far as to say he was a weak link.
Okay, but I'm just saying I understand his bitterness because, you know what, Mark? A, he had a chance to be on one of the most recognizable teams in the history of the NBA, and number two, he never got to win that championship.
He called Isaiah Thomas a con man. And the reason he does that is because you're right. He walks around today without rings. Isaiah has two. Joe has two. All his buddies have two.
Yep.
He thinks he should have two. And he thinks Mark Aguirre should have zero. He thinks Aguirre came in other words,
took his spot and took his ring.
You know, somebody shined up the Cadillac, and then at the last minute, someone spritzed the headlights, and they said, I just cleaned up the whole car. And that's what he's looking at it like. We had a Cadillac here. It was driving along. Maybe there was some dirt on the side.
But we didn't need to change the tire.
That.
You know what I mean?
We didn't need to change just the headlight or just spruce it up a little bit. And so he calls him a conman because that's what Isaiah had to do. I'm telling you. Lambeer wasn't going to do it. Sally wasn't going to do it. Worm wasn't going to do anything. He never did anything. Dennis Rodman.
Remember, he was a different cat.
He had to be babysat.
Right.
He never did anything to a positive degree for the Pistons except get out there and rebound. That's what he did. There was nothing else. He wasn't a team leader. He wasn't anything. You had to stroke his ego. We all know that. We all saw him with the towel over his head back in the. He was very sullen. He's not the wacky, tatted up Dennis he is today.
And remember, he used to cry like a baby in certain.
Cry like a baby. Remember when he won the Defensive Player of the Year award?
Cried like somebody died.
It was, and then Chuck had to put his arm around. It was really weird. Having to deal with Dennis Rodman on a day-in, day-out basis of practice and whatnot, he was hard to deal with. I don't even know how these guys got past it. All right, we'll talk more about it. It's really a fascinating thing because of the 30 for 30.
Right. And also,
at a different kind of way on the third.
Whose side are you on? Are you on AD's side or Isaiah's?
If you remember the era, I really would like to hear if anybody remembers that being a bad move. When Mark, and it's going to be hard now, revisionist history, because you know about the two rings.
Right.
You're going to have to try to go back to forget the part where they won.
Because if they made that trade and they didn't win, people would look back and say, why did they give up AD?
I think that would have been that way.
Right? It would have been a totally different
thing. It would have been a different look, except the people in the know close to it knew AD had to go. All right, anyhow, 248-848-1130. Sportsnet with Parker and Mel will get you caught up next in the Sports Wrap.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.